Hello everybody and welcome back to the channel and another video. This is the Arsenal Show episode 3. Let's get right into it. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the channel and another video. So joining me this evening, I have two great guests who've never been on together before. I said that I would get it done this season, and I got it done within a week. So I am much better than Ticketmaster are at giving people Oasis tickets. So joining me this evening, I have got Ray. Ray, how are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm all good, thank you. Thanks again for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on your wonderful platform once again, my friend. And it's fantastic to be on here with Neil. We speak a little bit over Instagram, don't we? So it's finally good to sort of speak to him face to face about Arsenal, because we need a bit of therapy, I think, after the weekend at least.
Yeah, and Neil, I know that you've already done one piece of therapy already. I finished watching it this afternoon. Great again, as per usual. But yeah, you're back again for another round of therapy, this time with me and Ray. So yes, it's Neil Shire, everybody, by the way.
Thank you so much. As Ray said, echoed that. Great to be on and an honour to be on. Thank you for inviting me and sorting this out, because I've been saying to Ray, we've got to get on a pod sometime. And it's been quite a while we've been saying that, haven't we? So James, You weaved your magic. You've done it. The long hair, pointy hat, Gandalf, you've done it, man. Thank you very much.
I'm glad you said Gandalf. I was going to say it. Don't call me anything else with pointy hats, please. I don't want that tarnished on me. So, yeah, guys, obviously this weekend, Arsenal won, Brighton won, and there's so much to get into. I think, for myself anyway, I would rather do the good before we get into the bad. So obviously, Neil, I know you hate the lineup questions, so I won't go to you. Ray, in terms of the lineup, it was pretty much what we all expect. I mean, this isn't going to be a massive debate here about the lineup anyway. It's more so, you know, about the individual players. But obviously, the lineup changed to what we all believed and thought it was going to be. Obviously, Trossard come in, Timber stayed where he was. Just to pick straight away on Trossard, what did you make of his performance? Because for me, I'm still in that camp of as much as I know he hates not starting, I still believe he's better coming on than he is when he does start. What about yourself?
Yeah, I'd have to kind of agree with that, to be honest. I can't really think of too many games that he started for Arsenal that he's actually kind of took the game by the scruff of the neck. There's probably at least one or two out there, because he does score clutch goals for us. But majority of his impact, I think, anyway, comes from off the bench. I don't know whether, like you say, he's angry and that he doesn't want to obviously start on the bench, and maybe he comes on with a point to prove. Maybe that gives him a slight edge to the game. Maybe the left side is still just not completely set up right, and maybe that Martinelli running at defenders and whatever else for however many minutes, normally an hour, isn't it? You know, completely sort of froze it, and then it's a different option. I don't know, but yeah, I agree. I think a lot of Arsenal fans feel like this anyway, don't they? That that Trossard is a better sub or finisher than he is a starter. So yeah, it's a difficult one, because when he had the impact that he'd had against Villa, I think everyone, including myself, felt like he should start. That was definitely warranted. But yeah, it was just a bit flat, wasn't it, really, from him and how he started.
Yeah, yeah. And Neil, what about you? I know I can see you nodding with both of us along there, like the Churchill dog.
Yeah, always.
But yeah, I mean, you're probably in the same camp, right? He's not as effective as he when he starts, sadly.
No, he's far more effective coming on as an impact sub for me. It's a shame, because I think he's got so much talent. He always tends to change a game. He gives us new ideas. It's very dynamic. But he tends to do that better coming on as a sub. I don't know why. It kind of reminds me of Giroud. I thought Giroud was always better as an impact sub, because the legs were slightly tired and he would come on with his strong, powerful frame and hold the ball up and just give the defenders problems. I find him very similar. Giroud didn't like it, did he? And then he was off. And then obviously Trossard, after he scored that goal against Villa, he's trying to make a statement on it to Arteta. Well, you got your chance, mate. I don't think you really took it with aplomb, did you? So I'm with you on that one. So yeah, apart from that, I think the team was pretty much, you know, self-picking, wasn't it, this time around? But yeah, agree with you on the Trossard thing, 100%.
Yeah, and just quickly as well on Timber, what did you make of Timber's game, Neil? I'll go to you first this time. For me, I don't know what people are expecting here from someone that's just come off such a bad injury. I think they're expecting, you know, one of the greatest footballers of all time to appear out of nowhere. I think on the ball, there's still that part of his game's going to improve, like when he inverts and when he gets in the mid. But defensively, I don't know how anyone can slate this guy. I think he very rarely loses a duel. He's quite good in the air, despite the fact that he's a lot smaller than the other centre-backs and the right-back that we play with. He's not as statuesque as them two, but he times it. So he's like, if I get the leap before there, I'll get the ball. I don't understand what more this guy has to do for me. I think for the first time, obviously, saw him against Man City, I was like, oh, you're a player. I mean, we saw glimpses in the preseason as well. But in that game, I was like, this guy's a serious, serious player. And he's come in this season. And I still don't understand the critique from certain people in the fan base.
Because not only are the anti-Arsenal always against us, we've got some toxic idiots within the fan base. The problem is we can't win. All the players can't win. We have Zinchenko, can't defend, but he's better in midfield, and look at him go. Timber, who can defend, but look, he can't progress with the... I mean, he's a defender. At the moment, he's playing left back. What's that? That's a defender. He does that brilliantly, as far as I'm concerned. He makes some great touches. And in fact, wasn't it for our goal? He started the move anyway from the back, which Saka, you know, beat Dunk for. So at the end of the day, I think if he hadn't sustained the injury at the beginning of last season, I think the fans would have got what they expected. I was expecting, do you remember I was saying, I'm not looking at Rice or Alves, I'm looking at Orea, I'm looking at Timber being the player of the season. I said it right from the start. Unfortunately, he got done with that injury. Now, that's a really serious injury, and what they expect, you know, an amazing thing from him right from the off. No, yes, he did score a great goal. I don't know if that was a friendly or a, I can't remember now, it was the academy, wasn't it? I can't remember that goal.
Yeah, the one against Blackburn, yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So we're thinking that, oh my God, this guy's going to be playing. He is going to be a player. He already is a player. He's going to get better. Give him a blooming chance. All right. Goodness me.
Ray?
Yeah, I mean, that's well put, Neil. Well put. Yeah, I mean, Timber, I think, is going to be a good player for us. I wonder whether he's going to be a squad player, though. I don't know whether he's going to be a starter. Who knows? I mean, we've seen players come in and dislodge what we think are first choice starters. He could come in at right back, something crazy like that. But I think with Calafiori waiting in the wings, I think he will be I think he'll play a majority of the season at left back, in my opinion. There might be certain games where he plays at centre half, but I think majority of the time we'll probably see Calafiori at left back. And like you say, I just think that he did struggle. He was up against good opposition. I think, is it either Matoma or I'm going to butcher his name, Mitter, I think, was playing on the wing for Brighton.
I think they had Minte on his side, right?
Minte, sorry, yeah. And he looks good. I mean, he's come out of nowhere. I think he's come from Newcastle's reserves team and come into to Brighton's first and looks brilliant. So he's had a really good start to the Premier League. And I think he gave Timber a really torrid time, to be honest. But we just need to be a bit patient. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of patience. We are trying to win a league. The games come thick and fast. We're playing against opponents who are no mugs. And we'll probably come on to that in a bit when it comes to what else happened in that game. But unfortunately, I think fans do kind of feel like because we haven't seen him for the year because he's been injured. I think people just expect him just to come in straight away. Now he's had a year off and be 100% when in reality, that's just not going to be the case. And I think people may not give him either the grace or the whatever he needs, because we've got a replacement, i.e. in Calafiori. We've also got, you know, however many left backs. Neil mentions Zinchenko. We've also got Kivior as well. And Tomiyasu, if he ever comes back fit for us ever again. So we've got plenty of options there. I think a lot of people just think that Timber either needs to hit the ground running or he's out.
Yeah, I mean, you say that as well. I know I'm jumping the gun, but that's what I normally do here anyway. The Tesco bag has been put back in the changing room. I don't know if you saw today. Yeah. He's in squads. I couldn't believe it. I thought that it would just be Kieran Tierney. He's going to be here and he's going to let him train. And then obviously in January, you know, I think he was going to leave in the summer. I don't know who to, but I definitely think if he hadn't been injured, he was one of the ones that would go in the summer. Because again, he's another player that would get you money. People, it might not be amazing money, but it's someone would buy Kieran Tierney even on the chance that if he stays fit, well, I've got a decent player here. And he's in squads.
I didn't know that, by the way, but do you think they might feature him in the Caribou Cup? Maybe.
It's tough because if you cup tie him, that could hurt people buy. But you don't, I never know what Arteta, I mean, a lot of this later on is going to be what's Arteta thinking. Because even after nearly 5 years, I still don't know. And I don't think anybody else does either. You know, he could look at Kieran Tierney now and go, actually, you could work for me. You could be cover. I know he can't invert and everything else like that. But when there's times where he goes five at the back, or Kieran Tierney plays five at the back for his national team pretty much all the time, because unfortunately, Scotland are very, very leaky. That's just how they are. So he's always in a five-man defence there. But I have no idea. But anyway, going back on the game, sticking with the good. You're saying there, Ray, that Brighton were no mugs. I thought that first half, until James Milner come off of his injury and Baleba, I think it was, come on, I think we were making Brighton look like mugs. I thought this is one of the best starts I've seen Arsenal have for a very, very long time. And we had all these chances. Just again, it's the finishing just wasn't there. But what did you make, obviously, to the start of that first half?
Yeah, me.
I
would agree. I think we did start the better team. We did look bright and we did put them under pressure. Maybe for them, I don't know whether James Milner coming off was a bit of a blessing in disguise. Let's be honest. He's got the experience. He's got the know-how. But I don't think he's got the legs or the energy that he has, and that's what we all know James Milner for, right? I think him coming off Baleba, or however you pronounce his name, I'm going to butcher a lot of names tonight, but I think he came on, and I think Brighton had to do something tactically that maybe we just wasn't really either expecting, or we weren't really sort of set up for. And we didn't really have the ability at that moment in time to adapt. Like I say, I think they did put us under a bit of pressure. And when the game goes away from you, we need to be able to rein it back in. And to be honest, up until the goal that we scored, I don't really think we did. I think it was a bit of a chaos game. I think we're good first 15 minutes. I think between then and when we scored, I thought it could have, you know, anything could have happened. We had a bit more control after we scored. But yeah, it was always a little bit in the balance that first half for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we get the goal, Neil. It's a brilliant goal, as per usual. It's the main two that we all want to do the business for us. And for me, I've seen, obviously, I've watched you guys speaking about it on Purely. I've listened to a few of the others as well, listened to Mike's. I've watched stuff on the television and everything. And I know that, obviously, us as the fans have mentioned it, but I was quite shocked at the lack of the response from the... I think it's so clever from Saka to anticipate that that's going to fall, because he's got no right, really, to jostle Lewis Dunk off the ball like that. But he's always, for me, he's just always, the mind's going at a time, you know, he's always aware of something could happen here. And I think, like you've mentioned as well on the other podcast and everything else, I think that on that right-hand side, all those players on that right-hand side, from White, from Saliba, from Odegaard and Saka are all, and it's just like Ray said earlier, it's just all not twigged on that left-hand side yet, which will happen. But obviously, what did you make of the goal? I mean, Kai Havertz to that Kai Havertz a few months back, he doesn't even try that lob, does he? He'll try a safe pass to someone that's near him. This is a guy that's brimming from ear to ear with confidence. And what a lovely goal.
Absolutely full of confidence. I think the initial Kai Havertz we saw, I think it was a hangover from Chelsea, to be fair. I really believe that. Digressing slightly, I think Sterling's going to be the opposite, by the way. I know we'll talk about him later. So where Kai, I think, has been kind of, you know, come out of that horrible time and he was, I think, a little bit subdued, I think it's going to be the reverse with Sterling. So that's good stuff for us. But anyway, I think he is what Martinelli needs a little bit of. But if, you know, a few months ago or before 2024, he would have played that safe, or he would be looking to play it, pass the ball rather than attack it. It's like the header he scored, wasn't it? Who was that against? What was the first game he played? Yes. He's become more aggressive in front of goal, if that makes sense. And that was a deft lob. That was the first touch lob. You talk about how well Saka did, but also that was a great piece of skill from Havertz. And I don't think it got the credit it deserved. I thought that was a really damn good goal. I mean, I've seen Perez do things over the keeper and stuff, and like people have just drooled all over it. I don't know whether it's just because it's Havertz. I don't know, but you're absolutely right. We seem to be so strong on the right. That's where we've got to develop on the left. I think that is our Achilles heel. I think defensively we're fine. And we mentioned earlier about Timber, some fans criticising him. But let's be fair. I think a lot of the players, save what you said, James, at the beginning, there was a big chunk of that game. I think all our players were off the pace. I mean, Rice isn't, I don't think, with it. So you can't just focus on Timber. I think there's a lot of players that haven't quite got into the game, into the Prem yet, or hasn't really started for us. I think I said it on the period. I don't think we're out of third gear yet, to be honest. So I think there's a lot more to come. But I think Kai Havertz and Saka, the only concern I think is, I mean, obviously they're going to get the numbers. They always do. Even if Saka's not, he's a bit quiet and we're worrying about him. So what are you doing, Saka? You're not finishing. You should have done better with that finish, which happened in this game as well. He's always going to get the numbers. Somehow he just does it, like you're saying. His brain's always going. Somehow he'll find a way. And Kai Havertz, I think you can rely on him now. Yeah, he'll miss a couple. He did in this game. But he's going to score as well. There were times when Henri didn't score. Come on, I mean, you talk about Henri and Bergkamp as if, you know, look back, I remember there were times that we were frustrated with them. So, you know, I think we've got as good as we're going to get on the right at the moment. Now, I think we've just got to focus on the left. And you've got players, you've got Calafiori, you know, Fori, that you said, or Rico, as I call him. You know, Sterling could potentially play on the left. You know, we're going to build that. You've got Mourinho coming on that side. It might be more of a Xhaka role. It's all looking good. It's all looking good. We're going to get there. Trust me, guys.
Yeah, I believe you. I'll take your word for it. But obviously, that first half towards the end, obviously, Neil, we've got the WhatsApp group and everything. And pretty much, I think it was one of the only times ever in that whole time that I've been in that WhatsApp group, me and Jack disagreed on something. He was saying that he didn't think that we were overly creative in that half. And obviously, I said, no, to be fair, that Saka one, he has to score. The Odegaard one definitely has to score. That was, for me, that was easier than the Saka one. I mean, that was easier than the Saka one because Saka had to bring that one down. But I thought that we created enough, just we wasn't clinical. And then it's the usual of, okay, it's half time, do your talk, come out here and let's go. Because I thought to me that like, this is easily a three, you know, we'll do these about 2-3 nil. I when I predicted with Melvin last week, said tight 2-1. I was like, it's going to be really, but I was shocked at how well we were handled. And I was just like, they're going to come out a bit, which is going to help us. They're going to want to play. They'll leave the gaps. Let's exploit the gaps. And obviously, we start off second half, Ray, quite well. And then I'll go to you first. But it's the one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in football. The red card, Ray. Now, I know he touches the ball. And that, to me, I'm not absorbing Declan Rice of complete blame. Because to me, I'm like, yeah, he's rolled it. And it's flicked the back of your leg, but you have kicked it. And sadly, we all know that every single one of these refs is rubbish. Like, regardless, all of them are rubbish. But especially when it's the first 3, 4, maybe 5, 6 games of the season, especially when they make new rules, one of them stands up, you know, chest pumped. I'm the bastion of the rules. So you know what? Someone somewhere is going to completely F this up within the first 1 to 6 games, like I said. But yet, I don't like to go down the conspiracy route in terms of the refs. But it just feels like it's always us. I know it happens to every other, but it just feels when something new or some circumstance that, you know, Martinelli getting 2 in one game, Tomiyasu with this threat. We've got so many that we can go through. But Ray, I'm guessing what your opinion is going to be, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm completely baffled by it, to be honest. Had you not invited me kindly on tonight, I probably would have just not watched it because it did wind me up at the time. I have probably seen it at least 10 times today. And yeah, man, I'm fuming with it. I really don't understand. Like you say, I know there is a touch there, and it just obviously just delays the restart. But I mean, there's so many facets to that incident that I just can't get my head around. I mean, the first one is that the ball is actually moving. It's not actually still, which I believe, you know, is an illegal move anyway. Therefore, the kick should have been retaken. The second one, in my opinion, and maybe I'm just misinterpreting it, but I haven't really seen many people mention it. When Declan Rice is walking away, how far away is he actually from the incident? Like, it's not like, you know, 10 yards, for example, what the wall is. Is he a far enough distance away that he can, you know, get out of the way kind of thing? If it's in his, area or his vicinity. So you could argue it's a clever move there from Veltman, but I just don't think there's really anything that Declan Rice can do. I mean, if he boots it straight at him, you could argue that he's delayed a restart. Do you know what I mean? And then the fact that that Veltman has actually just sort of kicked through and just absolutely clattered Declan Rice, and when obviously Kavanagh bandaged the card, I just thought, oh, you know, fair play. I mean, that was an awful challenge there from Veltman, and you know, it's a definite booking. And when he got the red out, it was just baffling. I was actually watching the game in a local bar, my local football club, non-league team, and I was the only Arsenal fan there. Everyone else doesn't support Arsenal or supports Brighton. So I was the butt of a lot of jokes there. I was told that Declan Rice is an abomination and is a disgrace to football. No, they didn't say that. They actually said it was a shocking decision. They're all different rival fans. Like I say, a lot of Brighton fans were there as well. They were baffled by it. And the whole thing is just confusing. And considering that João Pedro absolutely booted one 10, 15 yards earlier in the first half, and no card or no challenge, is just bonkers to me. And the fact that the referee decides that this is the time that he's going to apply the rules, as you say, he's going to be a stickler to the rules, I think is just crazy. Where's the common sense? There isn't any, to be honest. Refereeing and common sense just doesn't exist.
It's funny you say that word, common sense, Ray, because IFAB, which is obviously the handbook and everything that they go by, it literally says in situations you must apply common sense to maintain the spirit of the game. And that again leads me to last season, Kovacic against Arsenal for Man City. Yeah. They're two yellow card. Hell, one of them's a straight red. To me, one of them's a straight red. And yet, oh, no, I've got to keep it 11-11 because of the spirit of the game. This is where I lose my head. And I don't want to be one of these guys that completely says that this is the reason Arsenal lost the game. Arsenal have a lot of faults within this game other than this happening. But this stuff doesn't help. And again, like you said there about rival fans and everything else, it was one of the only times for me as well that I didn't see a lot of the rival fans like laughing and going like that. It reminded me sort of last season of what happened with Liverpool at Spurs. And normally, Neil, you know more than anybody, I hate Liverpool the most out of all the teams. I can't abide Liverpool. And yet I wasn't laughing at that. I was like, that's disgusting. That situation. And I think a lot of fans said the same here. But Neil, I'll go to you. Obviously, you've spoken about it already, so it must be ad nauseum for you. I don't want to make you but like you said, it's therapy. So, you know, talk us through it again. Sit on the chair, mate. Put your hands behind your head. Lay down.
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't write prescriptions, I'm afraid.
Help me. Yeah. I think it's a joke. I think Ray's eloquently summed it up, but I just can't get my head around it. Ray, for me, when the red came out, I thought it was for the Wolves player, for the Brighton player. I didn't think it was for Rice. And then all of a sudden, it's Rice. And I'm like, I was just dumbfounded. I couldn't understand it. I think a lot of fans, even John Terry hates us. And he's come out and supported us on this decision. I mean, I think anyone with a reasonable footballing mind, with, as you say, common sense, can see how stupid this was. I mean, even he was, Veltman, wasn't it? Was claiming that he went to take a free kick. But if you look at the trajectory of his leg, he's aiming for Declan Rice. I'm sorry. And where is he going to go with that free kick? It's in a really non-threatening area anyway. I don't think there was any other Brighton players around. I mean, I couldn't see him and the angle's limited. But I think it's all just farcical, the whole thing. And I think it was Jack that said on the pod, he said, why don't they just come and the referee just come and talk to them and say, look, calm down, boys, sort this out. And you know, deal with it logically rather than wanting to be another, I'm the headliner, not the footballing players, not the footballing team, me, the referee, because I'm from up north and, you know, obviously I support the clubs up there. I'm joking, but you know what I mean. I just found it an abomination.
He's born in a city hotbed.
Yeah, exactly.
Where he lives is literally, it's Man City country where he lives.
Yeah, and James, you know what? You said that it feels like it's always us. It is. I think it is. All the new stuff, it's always on us. And then it never repeats, does it? That's a strange one as well. I just find that there's no consistency. I think other teams do get the brunt of rubbishness as well. It's not just us. But because we're Arsenal fans, we really feel it when it comes to us because we get so much of it. And then the fact that, you know, the other guy just boots the ball halfway down the line. That's okay. That's not time wasting. Oh, no, of course that's not. But Declan Rice deviating the ball with a little feather touch. Oh, no, that's a yellow card. I'm sick of it. I really am. And yes, it's not about making excuses, but I've always said this, James, when we've got a bad slice of luck like this, of course it's going to change the game. It always does. It doesn't matter whether we've taken our chances or not. Sometimes you can have a really bad game, but you get that slice of luck to win it. Like, you know, the champions of old used to. Man United were very good at it. They would sometimes have a really rotten game, but they'll still come through somehow. And that's the kind of thing that you need. We get it the other way around. We get the bad luck to stop us winning where maybe we haven't been motoring it in sixth gear or fifth gear, whatever you want to call it, throughout the whole match. So maybe we needed a slice of luck there to keep Declan on. And I'm pretty sure, I know it's difficult to say with hindsight or, you know, hypothetically now because we didn't see it happen, but I'm pretty sure we could have probably gone on to win the game if he'd stayed on the pitch. And it's these drop points that really hurt us because we know how damn clinical City are and we can't afford to lose these points. I get it, Ray. I know that Brighton are a tough team. They are a tough team. A lot of good teams are going to drop points to them this season. But I think at home, we really should be dominating these teams and coming out on top because we cannot afford to make any mistakes this season. It's going to be so hard to eclipse them. And I want to do it the right way. I know there's all these allegations and stuff that we don't know what's going to happen, but I want to do it the right way. Let them get relegated after the season's finished, after we've won the title, then they can get relegated or whatever it is. I just feel that, you know, we need some luck and we need some protection as well for our players, which we don't get either.
Yeah, sadly, until one of the players becomes England captain, I don't think you get that protection anymore, sadly. But no, you make the point there, Neil. And yeah, I agree with you. 11 versus 11, they had 5 shots up until that point. They finished the game with 22. So it could, yeah, I get what you mean. We're saying it does change the game to a certain extent. My problem is, and I still feel this way, is that whenever an emotional moment happens, Mikel Arteta for me is still reactive and not proactive. And that, to me, still bothers me after this time in his, because I'm like, I know it's your first job, but that's something you should know by now. Like, for me, Calafiori should have been on right away. I know he waited 10 or so minutes. I'd have gone, sorry, Trossard, I know you want to play and everything, but I need to shield that up. And then when I can, I need a progressive player from the back to get it quickly to Saka and Havertz, because there was a 20-minute spell, obviously, that instilled panic. They got the goal back. Neil, there were times where it looked like those midfielders that were left and that front line had just met. They didn't know who they were. I mean, what was it? Odegaard, 44, 45% on his passing accuracy. You'll never see that. You'll never see that from him ever again, all season. All season long. And I mean, for me, again, like we were saying earlier, Neil, certain players escape criticism. I've always said it. You've always said it. Ray's the same. I don't care whose name's on the back, what level of state. I will say it as I see it. I think he's not had a great start to the season. Declan Rice has had a dreadful first three games. Dreadful first three games. And I really wish that we were tactical like the other clubs and pulled him out. I'd be going to him, have a whole week away and then come back, because I'm like, he's going to play 90 minutes in both these bloody Nations League crap, whatever it is they've made up now. Yeah. It does my head in. But yeah, Ray, I mean, obviously they get the goal back and everything else. But what did you think? Did you think that we, obviously, clearly we dropped the points, but the reaction for you, what did you think? Did you think it was like too delayed or?
Yeah, I mean, I think Calafiori was waiting in the wings to come on literally just as they scored. So I hear what you're saying, James. Maybe it's just unfortunate. Do you know what? I think I've got no evidence, obviously, of this, but my gut feeling is if we have 11 men, we don't concede that goal, because it is just a ball straight through our midfield and through our defence. And I mean, it's like watching Manchester United defend, isn't it? It was absolutely terrible. But yeah, I mean, I just think with 11 men, when I'm saying Brighton are a good side and they're no mugs, I'm not, you know, saying they're Real Madrid. But what I am saying is that they can get on the ball. They can put you under pressure. They can put you under the cosh. And I believe in our ability to defend, to be able to keep them out. And it would have been a nervy 1-0 or 2-1 or something like that. But they got that bit of luck. They got that move. It went through, obviously, and the bit of luck was with the save that came back out. And I think there's a lot of people saying about Thomas Partey maybe not tracking João Pedro in the end. But I think it was just a whole comedy of errors from our whole team. I don't think we can just pin it on one man, really. So it's a really frustrating goal to concede. Like I say, last season in particular, I can't remember us conceding a goal like that. I don't know what you boys think, but it was a really disappointing one. And with 10 men, like I say, Brighton are a good side, and they kind of, how do I put this? It's a home game for us, but when we've had a injustice, or what we feel like is like an injustice, the momentum of the game switches. They've just scored, and we're sort of looking around at each other like, what the hell's going on here? It can be very difficult. And Brighton, they can bring on, you know, this is what I mean. Brighton can bring on players that cost 20, 30 million pounds. They're all international footballers. And if they wanted to sell half their squad, you know, they probably have a market value of, you know, 300 million or something ridiculous. So this is what I mean. They're a dangerous team. And when you let them back into the game, as is what happened, I think it was always going to be a little bit scary. And they did have chances, as did we. I do think we need to caveat that we had two big chances, in my opinion, with Havertz and Saka. And maybe on another day, maybe if our heads just, we just make better decisions up front, then maybe it's a different outcome. But yeah, like I say, I'm just so disappointed with how it's panned out in the end. And we need to bounce back pretty quickly. I know there's an international break, but when you see Manchester City play later and Haaland just bags another hat trick, it's demoralising, isn't it? So we need to get this international break done. I'm hoping, praying, hoping that our players come back fit and healthy, because the last thing we need is any more players missing. And then, yeah, let's try and attack the next round of fixtures, because they're going to be hard, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, especially those the derby, and then obviously the Champions League game, which is Atalanta. They're no mugs, they're no slouches. That's going to be
and really, City away. Really tough game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it's after that first, like, the group of three in terms of league fixtures, they're not too bad. Like, I'm looking at that thinking, to be fair, we could get quite a lot of points here, but we can't afford to, you know, we can't lose either of those two. We have to get at least 4 points. I mean, I want 6, but we have to get at least 4, especially with this that's happened already. Neil, I'll go to you obviously for their goal, and Ray sums it up how I've normally said it about Arsenal teams in the past. I haven't really seen it this much with the current Arsenal crop, is that when one person makes a slight error, this team never seems to bail each other out. But yet, it normally, last year it has been, and even at times this season, someone's made a mistake, Ray is there. Someone's made a mistake, don't worry, Saliba's there. This one, for me, I'm looking at Gabriel and Saliba, and I don't know if Gabriel didn't go because he thought Saliba was going to go, or Saliba started to go and then thought, oh, Gabriel's going. It just, yeah, like Ray said, it was a comedy of errors and a mess.
Yeah, I completely concur with that. I don't think you can blame one individual. I think the telepathy and understanding that Saliba and Gabriel have with each other backfired this time, because they're so reliant on, God, if I'm not having a great moment, the other one's always there. And it's almost like backfired. It's like they both probably thought, oh, they'll deal with it. And that neither of them did, if that makes sense. But I don't want to blame any one individual. I think it's easy. I think, Ray, you're absolutely right, by the way. Brighton are a good team. I wasn't trying to put Brighton down. I was just thinking that it's a game that we really could have won and should have won if not for that stupid decision. That's all I was trying to say. And I you know, you just mentioned we've got 3 away games now with the Champions League draw confirmed. And that's not easy, is it? And I thought that this was such a must-win game, because then even then we could potentially afford to maybe draw even against them lot. Because then if we can get points against City, they'll only be potentially only still two points in front of us. Now we have to beat Tottenham. Whereas before we had to beat Brighton. So then, you know, if we start straying 4 to 5 points behind City at this early stage, it's going to be hard work to come back. So that was the only point I was making. But I just think that we can't be too critical of individuals at the moment, or because I think it's only 3 games in. The Premiership, I think it always takes maybe 5, 6, 7 games for all the players to find their feet and get really back into their rhythm. And at the end of the day, 7 points out of 9 in the first 3 isn't too bad, if you think about it. You know, all right, we've played Villa away. Villa are top 4 team. So we haven't done that bad, guys, with all due respect to the players and the club. But we have to turn it around. We have to iron out those errors. We have to iron out what you said, James, perfectly about how Arteta's got to mature a little bit and maybe be more proactive. Have something in plan if this happens, if we do get a bad decision and we get down to 10 men. Because, you know, Wenger was a master at playing with 10 men, and he's got to try and maybe look at maybe some of those reels and just see what he was doing tactically. I know it's very, very difficult because football has evolved from 20 years ago, whatever it is. But, you know, there must be some fundamental ideas in that he can maybe, you know, learn something from. I don't know. I'm not going to tell him how to manage. He's done a tremendous job for us, but... And I'm a nobody, so, you know, what do I know? But I'm just saying that, you know, we need to...
You've got the years on him, Neil. You know, he can't question that on you. You know, you've got yeah. you've watched football a longer time than he has.
I know, sadly, getting old now. But I just think that I don't want to be too critical. That's all I'm going to say, because I think and let's look at a couple of positives. They could have scored a second if not for Raya. Raya has been brilliant. For me, if you were going to ask me a question, who do you think are our best players at the moment, Raya in goal has been fabulous. I think he's getting better each game. To me, he just gets more and more confident. It's almost tangible with him. It's really bizarre. He was twisting, going the wrong way, and he managed to still, you know, pivot and save it. And that would have been 2-1, wouldn't it, at that time? Because I think it was 1-1 at that stage. So he saved us. I think he is great, and I think our best outfield player is still Havertz at the moment. I truly believe Havertz is the player for me because of his confidence. So there are some positives, and I'll shut up now.
Yeah, no, I think you made a great point there with David Raya, because it's, I mean, we keep saying it, but he caught every single thing. So he stops it at source. You know, he's not necessarily a big puncher of the ball. He takes it into his hand, and he nearly actually got he had one for an expected assist, because there was one where he launched it and we went on the breakaway. I think that might have been the Havertz one that caused that. But you make a good point there, Neil, about who you'd have given man of the match to. I'll load up the graphic here for mine. I actually did pick, no shock, I did pick David Raya. Ray, I'll go to you first. Who do you have for man of the match? Because there's a few candidates in there. But yeah, who for you was your man of the match, mate?
Yeah, I think David Raya is probably a good shout, to be fair. I did like Saka's performance as well. I thought he was good. You know, with the assist in particular, like you referenced earlier, he's got no right to win a ball in the air against 6'4". Lewis Dunk, is he? But it's very, very clever what he does there. I think it's got to be Raya, because he just kept us in that game, and he won us a point. You know, we didn't lose the game, and he has got us a point. So I'd probably go on that. I'd probably go David Raya on that basis. I do think David Raya is a quality keeper. Like you mentioned, James, I think the fact he can just claim crosses, he's not the biggest of keepers, is he? But he's very agile, and he can come and claim that really, really well, and distribute it fantastically as well. I just worry that, as you guys mentioned, we haven't really been on it for whatever reason, probably a whole multitude of reasons, but I think he's facing more shots. And I think because he's facing more shots, he's obviously, we're asking more questions, or he's being asked more questions of, and then he's getting these highlight reels. So it's a double-edged thing for me. I love to see what he's doing and how he's performing, but I wish he was a little bit less busier in games. And I think that's going to come with a little bit more time, a few more weeks. I think, obviously, Declan Rice will need to come back. It will be nice to see Mikel Moreno finally play for us. I think it took him 2 months to sign, and I think it's going to take him 2 months to actually play a game for us. So, yeah, I think when he comes back in, it will add a bit more steel into our midfield. Obviously, I think Thomas Partey on his day is brilliant, but we all know he's made of glass. And Jorginho can dictate a game, but I think there's certain games that you bring Jorginho in for. Who knows? He might do well at the toilet bowl. I think he's probably going to play, isn't he? So let's see. I think there's a lot of combinations. And as we mentioned, we've got a whole multitude of defenders. So we just need to try and settle on a back four, in my opinion. I think it will just be White, Saliba, Gabriel, and in my opinion, probably Calafiori. And let's see how it goes. But back to your original question, because I'm rambling a bit now. David Raya was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Neil, man of the match for yourself. Who did you pick? Who did you think?
Ray said it perfectly, because he said, you know, whilst it's he's what, had two man of the matches now.
Yeah,
it's great.
That's another question I'll add after. I'll let you carry on, but yeah.
Okay, but that's great, because it's showcasing him and his abilities. As Ray, you know, there's no point repeating that. Ray summed it up fantastically. But it's a little bit of a worry, because we want our forwards or our creative midfielders to be getting the man of the match.
I won't ask that question now. You've just done it.
I'm sorry.
That's brilliant. No, that's what I want.
But yeah. So if we can turn that around, look, Raya, I love you now. I wasn't sure about you because I loved Ramsdale, but I love you now. And I wish you to have another golden glove season and be lifting the trophy at the end of it. But you're not. I don't want you to have any more man of the matches. Okay, it's enough. All right, we want our attackers and creative midfielders and maybe Saliba as well now and again. I think that's the worry, and I think that's it. That's what Ray said. I think that's what he was trying to say, and I think that's spot on. So yeah, for me, Raya, Saka maybe Havertz as well for what he done, but yeah, Raya overall for me, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and I tried to get the graphic to save. Obviously, Ray was here before you got here, Neil, so he saw me in stress mode of trying to get graphics to save for the show. I couldn't get it done for some reason. So I haven't got the graphic, but I will list it out. Obviously, Arsenal's player of the month. I'm sure you all got your emails through showing you who the candidates were and asking you to vote and everything else like that. So it was obviously Saka, Havertz, Raya and Saliba. And I, even though Saka, I mean, I've got this graphic that I should have used earlier, but I forgot because that's just how I am. Yeah, you go. He's there with the legend. I mean, he's got a bronze statue outside. I don't think it could be too late. Once this guy adds trophies, he might have a statue outside as well because he's a absolutely bloody special. But I can't keep talking about how special this guy is because he really, really is. He really, really is. But yeah, for me, I think David Raya has to be our player of the month. I can't, like you said there, Ray, and Neil, you echoed it. Those last two games, we don't get either of those 4 points without him because he stat one against Villa was one of the best things I've ever seen. And then, yeah, like you said, against Brighton, Neil, he's on the floor and then all of a sudden he gets, I mean, he just about saved it with his leg, but he's still quick enough to get there to do it. It's just crazy.
Do you know, you were talking about how he's so good at claiming the balls. And I love that trademark thing where he just falls in. He's making, it doesn't matter if there's no one, he just does that. That's my ball. I'm not letting anyone have it. I love him doing that. But talking about punches, maybe he's not so prolific with it as he is with claiming the ball. But wasn't there one that he did in that match? And it was effective as well. I seem to remember it. I don't think it was the previous game.
Yes, he did. He made one big one.
He did, didn't he?
It wobbled, and then it was coming back down, and yeah, he was like, yeet, basically. Yes.
So he can do that as well, because I think it was effective. So I think he's got it all. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking from very, very limited experience of the fact that when I first started to play football, I've been about 6 foot since I was like five. And obviously, I was wider than everybody. So they were like, goalkeeper. They were like, he can't run. He's massive. Chuck him in goal. But you know, I always got told from the limited time when I played in goal, they were like, James, get up there and then lay on it. They're like, lay on. He doesn't do that. Even if we're, you know, even if we need to waste time or whatever, he's always looking for who's making it. Like I said, he's like, get it out as quick as possible. And that's what I love about him. You know, like I said earlier about being proactive, he doesn't, you know, muck around, waste time. He's always just as good as he is at defending it, he's offensively thinking as well, which I think in the modern game, you can tell why Arteta loved it. I mean, from the minute he signed, Neil, you were like, this is not the second choice goalkeeper. Look at this presentation. I mean, his granddad's been called in. I think his whole village was called in. You know, it was a crazy, it was one of the most insane things I ever saw. I nearly got phoned up and were like, oh, we've got a new goalkeeper. Do you want to come in? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll join it. Everyone seemed to be getting an invite. You know, you can't win a ballot for a ticket, but you can all go see David Raya at the training ground being signed. but yeah, just he is a very, very good goalkeeper, and we're going to need him because especially in these next three games, they're going to be absolute manic and stress. Just to go back on it as well, because I forgot to mention it again, silly me, sieve, mind like a sieve and what have you. I was very disappointed as well as with that decision at someone that I always used to really like, Danny Welbeck for me. I don't want to go into a hatred of him, but that, yeah, this, because I remember the rules are, if you do these, you get booked now. You can't be doing that stuff anymore. And yeah, he was like, you know, you could hear on the audio, he's like, second yellow. I'm like, Danny, how dare you? I mean, this is a guy that given one of them, when he left, he got given one of them cannons. I'm like, they're reserved for legends. Let's be right. Danny Welbeck, good player on his day when he needed to be, and he was very injured and what have you. He didn't deserve a cannon. I'm sorry, if Mr. Welbeck's listening or his family are listening, you don't deserve, you shouldn't have one of those, mate.
Just post it back if you can.
Šek being given one. He didn't deserve, even though he was retiring, he didn't deserve a cannon either. When that happened, it was him, Ramsey and Welbeck got given one. I was like, the only one who deserves one is Ramsey. I'm like, you two? I was like, bloody hell, they're giving them out for free.
It's a good point.
It disappointed me. I didn't think Welbeck was that way inclined.
No, neither did I. I was shocked. I was like, hang on a minute. Why? No, not you. I thought it's got to be an imposter. It's got to be a clone. It can't be the real one. Because I've always thought of him, or he's come across as quite a quite a nice kind of, you know, common sense fuel guy, if that makes sense, if I'm making any sense at all. But that's how he's come across to me. And then he's acting more petulant with doing that. It just didn't suit his personality. That's what I'm trying to say. It's so out of character from what we have seen as fans watching him on the pitch, and maybe even off the pitch. Just very out of character. I was quite shocked at that. So yeah, it's a great point to make, actually. It's a great shout, James.
Sorry, guys.
I was going to say, it just shows the inconsistency going back to the officials, because in the Blackburn-Burnley game this weekend, Blackburn striker got sent off for a second yellow for waving an imaginary yellow card. And you see it a lot of the time as well. I think in the Champions League, for example, players getting booked for it. So again, it just shows the inconsistency that we all tear our hair out, because it's incredibly frustrating to see one incident go unpunished and another, you know, allowed to run.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what country in South America it was, because there was this whole big thing about like the worst yellows you've ever seen. And I'm trying to remember what country in South America. I want to say it might have been Argentina, but there was a guy whose father had passed away like in the week. He played the game. He was on two goals. He got the hat trick. He's been booked earlier, but he's obviously scored the hat trick. Shirt's come off and he's got the vest with his dad. And the ref went, "I've got a book here. You took your shirt off." And he's like, "You kid?" He's like, "I've done this for my dad." Like, all the other players were like, "Come on. Like, come on." And he's like, "No." Yeah. He's like, "You took your shirt off. You're not allowed to take your shirt off." I was just like,
shocking.
I remember seeing it on Twitter, just like, "Oh, what?" I was like, "Really?"
I think the only way that's acceptable is if you're Sergio Ramos's son and you get sent off in your dad's name, because he always gets sent off. Yeah. I think other than that, it's disgraceful, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, some of it just, yeah, like we said earlier, apply the old common sense there. But no, as much as I have critiqued the attacking aspect of that game and how we, you know, ended it really, I have to say, defensively, I still feel so proud of this team. I think I've got no qualms about us defensively, probably because we've got about 800 of them, as well as the 700 goalkeepers. But, you know, it just feels so Arsenal, doesn't it? That we've had years where we're like, bloody love our attack, but that defence, oh my God, they're rubbish. And then just when you think it's all balanced and it's fine, it's like, oh, midfield and attack's not great at the moment, but the centre-back and the goalkeepers are good, aren't they? Defence is good. It's just cruel. But is there anything else on the game you guys want to touch on before I just quickly move on before we finish?
I just want to talk about Kai again. I mean, I think he's been involved in, out of the 21 goals we scored, he was involved in 18 of them. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. All right, everyone goes on about Haaland. Yeah, all right, Haaland gets hat-tricks and breaking records and all that stuff, but I think he's just a finisher. I think he's just a goal scorer. I don't think he's got much more to his game. I've seen games where Havertz is trying to get back to defend. He's doing all sorts of things. I don't think Havertz... I'm very wax Havertz lyrical at the moment, aren't I, James? I keep going on about him, so...
I think you're very right to be, like you said. You've watched longer than me and Ray have, and I say it so often, but I haven't seen anyone in the history of the time that I, 1995 was when I think I saw my first game. I haven't seen anybody that looked how they looked and then just flipped it the way he's flipped it ever. I think it's incredible. I think it's a testament. Obviously, I've said some harsh stuff about Arteta earlier, but I think it's testament to him for backing him all that time. He was like, "No, I'm still going to play it." You know, okay, he dropped him in a few certain games, but he still stuck with him, played. And also, as well, that whole time, all of the players were like, "No, he'll come good." In the interviews, you know, some of them, you know what Sky are like, they try and get a clip or bait them out of anything. They were just like, "Well, you know, still good Kai Havertz," and they're like, no, we believe in him. You know, we're going to, you know, they slated him for giving him that ball to score a penalty. And it's like you said, Neil, this guy, a bit like what I'll touch on in a minute, but this guy's been on the floor at that club. You know, let's get it right. This guy won him a Champions League. He should be adored by that club. And yet, the way they treated him towards the end, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And yeah, the turnaround is absolutely fantastic. So
How many goals do you reckon he's going to score for us this season?
Altogether or just league?
Uh, In the league?
I think 20 plus. I think on the rate on the rate that he's on 20 plus, because even though next game he's going to be moved into the middle, because I think Jesus is going to come back up top. I don't want that, but that's what I think he's going to do, because he's going to go, I need the physicality in there. As much as Zinchenko, when he come on, did sort of play a midfield role and didn't look too bad, I don't think he's going to trust him to do that against Tottenham. So I think he's going to revert to Havertz being as an eight, and then Jesus up top, and because he's going to be like, just get in there. And, you know, he's not as bad as defensive. I mean, a lot of people were moaning and complaining, but he played six games at the eight last season after the new year. And we won five of those games. And the only one we lost was Villa. And I'm sorry, but that Aston Villa game, you could, like you said earlier, Neil, you could blame tons of them for that game, not just him. That had a, you know, loads of them had a stinker that day. It weren't just Kai Havertz that had a stinker. It was loads of them. So, yeah, that's what I think Arteta's getting. You know, he could probably surprise me. I wouldn't play him anywhere else but up front now, because, like I've mentioned, the attacking threat has been so lacking, and he's scoring for fun. So I wouldn't want to change it. I wouldn't want to alter it. But he's a good guy. He's a good professional, model professional. He'll probably go, yeah, okay, I'll sit this one out, playing up top like I want to, probably for the first hour or so, because he'll take Jesus off and then swap it and do it that way, depending on what the game state's like. And yeah, he'll do it. And I think he'll do a good job. So, but yeah, easily, Ray, I think 20 goals. Neil?
Number of goals?
Yeah. Just league. All comps is too hard.
Well, that's because you're going to go on to something else. And so I didn't want to kind of get ahead of myself, but I will, because you've asked me that question. I think ordinarily I would have said yes as well to that. But I think because of a certain loan that we've got, I think he's going to be banging in quite a few too. So I think they're going to be shared. So I think there's going to be late teens for both.
Okay. What about you, Ray?
Yeah, I think I do rate Havertz, by the way. I'm just asking the question because he's a massive player for us and we need him to have a big season. I think Havertz is a 1 in 3 striker. Obviously, you throw the assists and obviously that adds to the goal tally or goal involvement tally. But like Neil, I think it's going to be anywhere between 15 and 20. I think if he gets over 20, I think he's had a fantastic season. He's stayed fit and he's really led the line well. But yeah, let's just see if there's any disruption, if he can play most of the games. I actually want Jesus to come back as well to give us that option. I do think Havertz should start over Jesus, but again, he's a big player for us. It's just Jesus is always injured. So I do think Havertz will get most of the game time up there. But yeah, in terms of the league, I think anywhere between 15 and 20. And I think that's a good season, but is it good enough to win us the league this year? I'm not too sure.
Yeah. I mean, we've spoken about, you know, he has to learn to not play with Declan Rice. I would love to, if possible, you know, if Arteta would allow it. If Saka's not good, you know, if you need to keep Saka out and save some legs, save some minutes, I would not begrudge him putting Jesus out wide there on the right-hand side and then Havertz in the middle, because Jesus is very good at beating a player and whipping it across. And I'm like, who better to whip across in than a 6'4" guy, like you said, Neil, that's full of confidence and he's attacking a ball. You know, he's not just doing these, like Melvin said last week, he's not just doing good morning headers anymore. He's having, there you are, good morning headers. You know, he's banging on the door and going, good morning. He's not just saying, you know, good morning. He's you know, he's making a point of it now. So, yeah, I think 20 plus for me easily. But you just mentioned it, Neil. And again, I've realised that the graphic, I was supposed to put Neto on this as well and I haven't done it. So apologies. But yes, Raheem Sterling is in the building. Just imagine Neto's there. And if you're watching on, if you're listening, sorry, on the audio, then there is a graphic of both of them there. I have actually done it. I'm not in it. So, yeah.
But one of my favourite photos of Neto, that one just there.
Oh, thank you, Ray. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it's one of his best ones. Yeah, I agree. but yeah, Raheem Sterling's coming in. Number 30 shirt. I think that's the percent of the wages that we're actually paying for Chelsea for him. I don't know. But yeah, he's got to live up to, you know, Ali Dare, Park Chu-young, Amad Traoré, Rio Miachi, Nketiah used to wear that shirt. if he's anything like the last number 30 that we got on loan from Chelsea, who actually was one of the best loan players, I think, that we had since Odegaard, Yossi Benayoun. I think if he could live up to what Yossi Benayoun did for Arsenal. I'm being serious. I thought Yossi Benayoun was brilliant. I thought he was so
great. I
thought he was such a good player, Yossi Benayoun. And, I mean, he's definitely going to get more than six goals. I think that's all that Yossi got for it. So he's definitely beating six goals for me. But how excited are you for this? I know how excited Neil is because I finished listening to him about it earlier today. So I'll go to you first, Ray, because you're fresh. But how excited are you on this signing?
Yeah, I am excited, actually. I'll be honest. When I first heard Raheem Sterling was linked to Arsenal, I thought my brain just went, another Chelsea player. We've seen this before. What are we doing? But actually, you know, you take a bit of time and you think about it. And it just makes sense. You know, he's got a lot of Premier League experience. I think it's, what, five Premier Leagues, maybe six, possibly, that he's won. He's still a really good age, 29. And like we mentioned with the likes of Havertz, it's not a first time that Chelsea have mistreated a player, and he's come into not only our ranks but other teams as well. You know, benefited from the likes of De Bruyne and Lukaku's in the past, haven't they? Or Salah. I think it's a really good signing. And for, as you mentioned, James, we're only paying, what is it, 100 grand out of 320. With no loan fee, and it's just a straight dry loan. There's no obligation to buy. So if he is rubbish, we ain't lumbered with him. So I think it makes sense. He's got a point to prove. And do you know what? Number 30, I think they've read the room really well here. And all joking aside, you know, because 10 and 14 were available. And obviously, they're huge numbers anyway, but certainly for us Arsenal fans. So I think that's just given him a squad number that he can just then go under the radar a little bit, work under the system of Arteta, because obviously I think we've probably seen Raheem's best work in the Prem with Arteta, as a coach. And I just think it just makes sense on so many levels. So, yeah, I welcome it. Hopefully he can do the business for us.
Yeah, I agree with Mike's comment. I actually would like to see that in his first game. Neil, Sterling, talk to me.
Oh, my God. So I've never liked him because of the clubs he played for. Not him as a person, but the clubs he... So I was very much like Ray, linked with Sterling. I thought, God, that's desperate, isn't it? We haven't got the forward of it. You guys have been talking about, and I leave it to you on the chats and your pods, on the pods. James, Jack and Michael, you know, you're great at it, but I stay clear. But when I heard Sterling, I was like you, Ray. I thought, no. But then it kind of started making sense because I thought, again, what you said, Ray, so many layers there are to this. I think, number one, the 30 shirt is great because he can go under the radar. There's no pressure on him. But I think he's got a massive point to prove because, again, like Havertz, I think not treated very well by that club. They're just not very good at anything, to be fair, apart from buying success. I believe that he's going to have a massive point to prove. He's got fire in his belly. And I think he's going to be very effective. I think he's going to be a player to look out for this season. With everything, all his experience of being a winner, which is so important. We need so much of that in our team because a lot of these guys, these youngsters have yet to lift a trophy. And I think it will help them. You've got Jesus in there now. We've got some others. We've got Havertz, obviously, the Champions League winner. We've got that Marino. He's one. We've got players now that know, even Declan Rice for the European Cup that they won with Chelsea. So you've got leaders that have won something or leadership characters that have won something. So they can, and I think Raheem Sterling's going to be very much like that. I think he'll be almost mentoring the front line, I think. But he's got the pace, he's got dribbling ability, he can carry the ball. And I think he's going to score. That's what I was hesitant on the Havertz question. I think if Sterling wasn't there, I think maybe you're right, James, he might get the 20 plus. But I think now, because Sterling's going to be in the mix, I think there's going to be a share. And I think Sterling's going to be getting those numbers. I really believe it. And I think it's a tremendous signing because he's flexible up front as well. So he can relieve Saka if need be. If Jesus is injured, he can also play as a false nine. He can play on the left if we're having issues with Martinelli and or Trossard. And I think it's just the most magnificent signing, because we're paying very little for him, you know, in perspective of what Eddie was on 100, wasn't he? I think. So we're not really paying anything more. And I think we've got a much better option than, I'm sorry to say, James, than Eddie was. And he's also obviously been there and done it, so he knows what it feels like. What a wonderful signing. And I think also that's number two we got as well. The goalkeeper's a good signing too, as we saw in the graphic, the amazing graphic that you put up.
Thank you. Yeah, they just encapsulated what a great signing he is. Yeah, for me, I look at Sterling and I think to myself, his last season at City, I know City fans are very, you know, they like it, you know, they're not, you know, nasty vitriol towards him. But that last season at City, it was very much of, well, we know that Grealish is going to come in here. We know they're going to sign something, so he's gone. And then he ends up at Chelsea, who, let's get it right, about 18 months before he signed for Chelsea, he's playing for Man City. He goes to take a corner. There's those three Burks that make monkey gestures and noises towards him. And then he joins that club. You know, that's got to be difficult knowing, well, hang on a sec here, I'm playing for a club that, let's get it right, only 18 months ago were racially abusing me. He started very well for Chelsea. Last season, on the Premier League show that I do, I gave him Player of the Week within the first, twice, I think, in the first month. He was fantastic for him. Everything positive that Chelsea did at the start of last season was all through Sterling. He was absolutely brilliant. And then, obviously, it goes wrong. He has a great pre-season for Chelsea, thinks that he's going to play the first game. Obviously, gets told he's dropped for tactical reasons, was the line from the manager. That's on the Sunday. Comes to the Wednesday and it's, no, he's actually not a winger that I like. He's not the kind of winger that I want in my team. So it's pretty much like, oh, okay, so what you said on Wednesday is a lie. What you said on Sunday is a lie. I mean, for me, the statement that he put out from his camp, I'm not a fan of it. I don't agree with it. I think he could have just, you know, saw the writing on the wall, not said anything and then left. But yeah, like you said, Neil, we've picked up one player in Havertz. Even Jorginho, to an extent, has proven me wrong. I wasn't as confident. You know, he's had some good moments for us. And I think to myself, you know what? He's coming in here with, like you said, Neil, he's got a point to prove. For about the last two clubs that he's had, especially in the last couple of spells, he's not been around a group, like a fan base that have absolutely loved and adored him. And I just think to myself, you've got two of the biggest games of the season coming up in our next two. You score or assist in one of them, you're loved straight away. And that to me is powerful. I think that will just breed, you know, I'm a fantasist anyway at times. And I just think to myself, he bags or he sets someone up in either of those games. It's massive. And Hente's just made a great comment here as well. That's very, very true. Very, very true. And then back on Neto as well, I think he was, what, 7th or 8th best goalie in the league last year? So to get, you know, a 7th or 8th best goalkeeper in your division for a minimal fee, you know, as much as this Garcia did look good for Espanyol, whatever one it was that he played for, 30 million on a backup goalkeeper.
That would have been crazy. Yeah, that would have been absolutely bonkers.
Especially with the level of money that we've spent already. You know, I don't think that... I know that they said that PSR and everything, we haven't got to worry. But yeah. I believe in January, depending on the situations, like you said earlier, Neil, about the 10 and the 14 shirt being left free, I think they're too big of a... I think by January, there's got to be a hint of something could happen. That 10 or 14 shirt could be going to somebody in January. So I think, you know, keep the coffers safe. Don't spend 30 million on a backup goalkeeper. I mean, a lot of people were saying, oh, well, this guy's cup tied for the League Cup. So who are we going to play in that? I wouldn't play Setford. Raya can play in the Carabao Cup. He won't care. He'll be fine. Yeah. So I wouldn't worry about that. But I've got no qualms whatsoever about the Sterling signing. I can't wait to see him. But obviously, guys, I won't do all the lineup and the tactical aspect of the next game because that's we've already done an hour and 10 minutes. I don't want to take another hour of what we discussed there and thinking what Mikel's going to do or what we'd want to do and et cetera, et cetera. So I'll just ask, as per for the predictions, Ray, North London derby, mate. What's the score going to be?
This is the one, isn't it? Yeah, this is the one that we just can't lose. I mean, regardless whether we're looking to try and win a league, even if we're looking to stay up, we can't go to them and lose. My heart says 3-2, but my head says 2-2. And I just think that without Rice, and I really think Moreno would have been a really good option. Obviously, we haven't seen him yet, so maybe I'm just talking out my backside, but I just feel like that type of player in that type of game is something we're going to need, whether it's going to be for an hour, the whole 90, or even 20 minutes. So, yeah, I'm gonna put my neck on the line and say 3-2 to the Arsenal. I think Havertz will get one, and I think we'll get a penalty, which Saka will score. Bold shout. I think we're going to get a penalty at the toilet bowl. But, that's what I'm going to go for. As they don't look that good still defensively. I'm hearing a lot of praise for their defenders, but it's because how good they are going forwards. I haven't really seen anything that's made me go, wow, when it's actually defending. So, yeah, let's see. It's going to be obviously... You don't need me to talk to you about the North London Derby. You two both well know, and all the listeners well know what that game's going to be like. So as long as we can keep our heads and we don't do anything stupid, I think we win this.
Yeah, I agree. And Neil, what about yourself, mate?
That's the key, keeping our heads. That is the most important part of it. And don't do anything rash and get players sent off where the referee's going to make them name themselves again. Don't give them even the slightest bit of chance to do that. I think, Ray, you're so detailed. That's brilliant. I hope we go with your heart. I hope we get that result. I'll go slightly different. I think I'll stick to... I was going to change it, but I'll stick to the... What I said. I think that's a 2-1. And Sterling's going to score. I think he's going to start. And I think he's going to score. I don't think it'll be Jesus starting. I think it'll be Sterling. And I'm going to go really left field here. I think Zinchenko's going to be in the middle as well. I don't normally disagree with you either, James, but I'm going to disagree on that.
Yeah.
I just want to be different. I've probably got it completely wrong.
Mate, I wouldn't begrudge it. I think in terms of physical-wise, obviously they're going to play Bissouma and Sarr, I fancy them two over Zinchenko any day.
All day long in a physical fight.
So
I need to feel better after that last game, and I just want to.
Yeah.
I just want to think a little bit creatively. And
well, you're talking about that left hand side. You put Zinchenko at left eight, Sterling at left eight. They've got a relationship from City. You put Timber or Calafiori behind them. They're going to play that ball quick. You want to give the ball to Sterling quick, so he can turn and then go himself. Them three will give him, they'll feed him.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be like the bloody all-you-can-eat world buffet in Chelmsford if you've got Zinchenko. They'll be like, there you go.
Don't normally do this, but I named the second scorer. I just fancy it.
Go for it. You do what you want. Mate, Sterling, like I said last week with Melvin, my show is a complete mishmash of anything, mate. You could do, as long as it's clean to an extent, you can say what you want.
I'm a good boy, I promise. White and Sterling to score the 2-1 win to us.
Oh, God. Absolute boil the piss.
I will absolutely take, a Ben White goal and him just celebrating, hopefully in front of like their main stand. That would be beautiful if that happens.
So
I think that's the key. Sorry, James, to butt in. But I think that's the key in it. This, not just this game, but this season, we need to unlock our left-hand side. I think I said this on the last show you kindly invited me on, James, but... I think how brilliant we are on the right, I think we can be a bit predictable at times. And I think teams have studied that and can set up against that. What we need now is something on the other side just to throw teams. And if we can get the right combination of players in, do you think Sterling's going to start on the left rather than up front? Or
yeah.
Because he's not going to start where Saka is he? So
no, I think he's going to start on the left. And you like you said, you make a good point here in that Sterling can have two people that go towards him. So that leaves Saka with either... Because normally Saka has two on him all the time. But now you've got Sterling, that's going to drag... They're going to think we need to get two on that side.
Great chance.
And then you leave Odegaard and Saka all that space on the other side. So that's what I really like about the signing is that teams we come up against are going to go, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll bugger. They're doing me from both ends. Sorry, like we said, clean. I'm trying to be as polite as possible. But that's what they're going to think. They're going to be like, I'm getting it from all sides. I can't cope. That's what we want, and that's what I think is going to happen. And I believe he's going to score as well, Neil. I do.
Do you know? That's sorry, James. Yeah, no, I really do believe that, and I'm glad you've concurred. Do you know what? That's one thing I do miss about Jesus. I think Jesus, when we first got him 2 seasons ago, he was electrifying. He really was. I don't know whether it's injuries or lack of confidence or something else is going on, but those first few games, do you remember? I was thinking the defenders can't defend against him because he's everywhere. And he does something, he just does off-the-wall stuff. It's just ridiculous. Oh, Michael, for God's sake. But I just want something like that to return. And maybe with Sterling, we've got it because he's so versatile up the front or at the top end of the pitch. So, love it. Love it.
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 as well. I'm not going to do the same as you, Neil. I'm going to go 2-1. And I think Saliba, because I agree with what you said, Ray, defensively. It's Van de Ven. Spurs fans will try and convince you that Romero is what Saliba is. Yeah. He's nowhere near. This guy is bobbins. He is absolutely bobbins, Romero. And I'm like, he's a red card waiting to happen. He's just not a good defender. And again, their goalkeeper's suspect. They try and convince you that their goalkeeper's like one of the best that's in the league. He's not. He really isn't. For an Italian goalkeeper, he's a disgrace, if anything, really. I still think they're sus from set pieces. So I think Saliba's going to get one in the air. And then, I do believe. I'm manifesting it. I think Sterling's going to do it, Neil. I'm with you. I think Sterling's going to score. And if he doesn't score in this game, then I think he might score at the Etihad. You talk about Jesus coming back. I'd definitely play him in that game against Atalanta because I don't know what it is, but when he hears the Champions League music, it's like putting steroids into a fighter. He just goes insane. He turns into
Vinicius Jr. He's
next level in the Champions League. I don't know what it is about the Champions League music, but he just turns into, even though they've changed the song now and put more trumpets in, it'll still twig him. It'll still set him off. So, you know. That's what I'd be doing. I'd be locking him in a cage with AirPods on, just playing it on loop over and over again, and then lift him out in Italy and just go, just release him. That's what I'd be doing. But that's my thoughts on anything. But yeah, Ray, thank you very much. Where can people find you if they want to hear more and they need to hear more or read more?
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me. I thought I'd come on today and just sort of maybe promote the Instagram rather than the Twitter. Or the X, because as I mentioned to you before, I've got a very hate relationship with Twitter these days. It's much of a muchness. I'm fed up with blocking Enzo Fernando profile pictures and Cole Palmer now, and the occasional Nicholas Jackson as well. If anyone wants to follow me on Instagram, it's RayKasim92 there. I just sort of post basically football and me walking my dogs, really. So if you're into that,
you can't beat that. If I didn't follow you already, that's a must follow. Football and dogs right away. Neil, I know where I can find you, but where can everybody else find you?
I don't want to be found. I just want to be. Come on.
Yeah. No one knows. I'm off the grid.
I noticed the champions. The champions tag there, Neil.
Oh, of course. We're winning it.
Very brave of you.
I'm full of confidence. We're going to go third time lucky and we're going to do it.
Manifest it, my friend.
Oh, 100% we're winning it. I don't care what Liverpool are doing and I don't care what City are doing. I don't care. Haaland can score 600 goals. We're still going to win it. Come on. Brilliant. But yes, I'm lucky enough to know. By the way, Ray's account is lovely. I tend to comment on it and stuff. It's got some good pictures and things, and if you love dogs, you love football, raise the account to follow 100%. I'm lucky enough to be on James when he invites me on that, become slightly more regular on it, and then obviously you've got Michael's pod about Arsenal Bobby on all, and then you've got Purely Arsenal as well, which is Jack's pod. So I'm very fortunate to be on several pods, and that's where you can find me. You can stomach watching, listening or whatever with me going on about rubbish. There you go.
Brilliant. No, thank you very much, guys. And I'm really happy that we managed to hook this up and get get all three of us on, because it's been a long time coming. And yeah, it won't be the only time this season. We'll definitely do it again. But yeah, thank you very much, everybody. And thank you for, you know, I've set up this on audio now, so I've got the older RSS feed and everything else, and it gives me the detailed statistics of where people are. Now, I don't know if you're doing this on a VPN, but if it's not, then all the listeners from last week that are from Russia and that loved me and Melvin, that are from Kenya and loved me and Melvin, Nigeria and loved me and Melvin, hello. Like, thank you so much, because, you know, I felt like Pitbull. I was like Mr. Worldwide. I was loving life last week. I couldn't believe it. And then someone said to me, it was my brother. He's like, it's a VPN. And I'm like, cheers, Dan. You know, thanks. Brought me right back down to earth. Typical. Typical. That's what he does, though. He grounds.
They're tuning into you, James, and then watching Russian EastEnders, aren't they? Really? So.
Well, yeah. I think Russian EastEnders is just opening a window and seeing what's happening outside, isn't it? It's not even a show.
Yeah, true.
It's a 24-hour live stream.
Yeah.
James, thank you for having us both. It's been so fun. I've loved it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's playing right. Thank you, mate.
And Ray, brilliant. I've waited.
Cheers, guys.
To be on a pod with you for ages, and it's been fantastic. So thank you as well.
All right, everybody, take care. And we'll see you soon.